Welcome to Sozo's Podcast, a student ministry of Victory Family Church located in Cranberry Township, PA. We're glad you're here. We meet every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 8:30. Check us out on Instagram at SozoYTH.
Sozo, what's up, guys? How are we feeling tonight? I am very excited. Hey, before I jump into my message, when we were in worship in that last song, something came up in my heart, a couple words that I wanted to share with you guys. The words were bittersweet, bittersweet. And I don't know who this is for, but I'm just going to throw it out there. So bittersweet, I feel like somebody might be going through a moment that's a little bit bittersweet. And I believe that the wave that was meant to crush you, come on, God's going to use to carry you, just like a surfer would ride that wave. I believe that God's grace is going to carry whoever that is for. So, but hey, if you're new to our church, if this is your first time, like Zach said, I'm Pastor Ben. Welcome to Sozo. I got a lot of energy, a lot of the time. So hold on to your butts. But we exist as a church and as a youth group because we want so that all people can realize that God loves them unconditionally. God loves you unconditionally. You are so loved. You're so welcome here, and we're so glad that you're here with us tonight. Did you know that we're growing as a youth group because of wonderful people like you? It's amazing what God is doing in Cranberry Township. And there's three very powerful words, and we don't say it enough, but it's humility, care, and connection. That's the way that we behave here. Like humility says, your needs over mine, right? Right? And you can just see that with Pastor Zach. He is such a servant. He is such a servant. He's got a beautiful heart and connection and care and very powerful. But when we do that, when we live that out, when we behave like that, it helps people to know that they belong and that they're family. And if it hasn't been said to you, you belong here in your family. So go ahead and just pat yourself on the back as I say welcome to the family. It's so true, so true. We're going to jump into God's word tonight, and I encourage you to get your phones out or your Bibles, your B-I-B-L-E. Yep, that's the book for me. Go ahead, get the word of God out. We're going to go through it together, and we're going to go to 2 Chronicles. I have ADD, much like Zach. Trust me, and this paper is moving with the fan, and I just can't do it. Can't do it, won't do it. But anyway, go to 2 Chronicles 30. That's where we're going to go today, and I just want to encourage you tonight to take notes. Note takers are history makers. I really believe that with everything in me. You know, God dealt with my heart years ago, and ever since, I've been taking notes on every podcast, things that I get from the Word, or we could say the Bible, right? And I do my best to teach it. Why? Because if it has impacted me and God did something in my life, well, I want to do my best to share it, and I believe that it will. Somebody say, come on. Okay. I'll take that. I liked it. So 2 Chronicles 30. Now, if you're new to the Bible, this is an Old Testament story about a guy named Hezekiah. And today, it's going to be very simple. We're going to be talking about God wants you to be happy. That's where we're going to kind of land today. God wants you to be happy. And I don't know if you know this about God, but let me just tell you some things about our God. God wants you to be happy. Now, I grew up in church, so forgive my jadedness, but as I grew up in church, church was always like, God doesn't want you to be happy. God wants you to be joyful, right? God wants you to have, you're filled with the joy of the Lord. And so I'm here to tell you that God is big enough that he can make you full of joy, but he's also simultaneously concerned with the realities of your bank account, with the situations of your school, right? And your football teams and all of that that's going on. And anybody thankful today that God is concerned with your happiness? If you don't believe that, well, I'm going to spend the next couple minutes trying to convince you of it. And so God wants you to be happy. And I got to tell you today that we serve a God of celebration. We serve a God of laughter. We serve a God of dancing. Come on, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And you got to know this about God. Our God wants us to party. Yeah. Come on, he wants us to party. And so this is 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Again, this is this is a story about Hezekiah, and he has this big gathering. He's sent out messengers, and they've gone out to all the tribes of Israel, all the respected areas, and all the messengers are like, listen, we're about to spill the tea. It's about to go down, right? And y'all come into the party because we're gonna turn up in the name of Jesus. So everybody gets to Jerusalem because Hezekiah hired the DJ. So now we got Martin Garrix in the house, right? We got Skrillex. It's about to go down. We're gonna party. And watch what it says here in 2 Chronicles chapter 30. And I just love this. It's gonna come up on the screen behind me. Follow along with me. Verse 21. And the people of Israel who were present at Jerusalem kept the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days with great gladness. And the Levites and the priests praised the Lord day by day, singing with all their might to the Lord. I just love that. I love that they're singing with all their might. Like, you ever been in worship and maybe the person behind you, they're just whispering, this little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. But let's flip the script for a second. You ever been in worship and somebody's singing so loud? I mean, like, they're off key. They're yelling and you're like, oh my good Lord. But here's the thing. I personally love that because you know what? It shows you that person right there has been saved from some stuff, right? They've gone through some things and they've got some promises of God that they're standing on, and it's a sign. I love it. The louder you sing, the more you know that you went through some things. And so they're singing with all of their might. In verse 22, and Hezekiah, he spoke encouragingly, to all the Levites who showed good skill in the service of the Lord. So they ate the food of the festival for 7 days, sacrificing peace offerings and giving thanks to the Lord, the God of their fathers. And the whole assembly agreed together to keep the feast for another 7 days. So they kept it for another 7 days with gladness. Like, in other words, this party was so good. Like, it was amazing that they're just like, hey, y'all want to keep going? Like, let's keep, like y'all want to keep partying? You ever been on vacation? I mean, it's so good. Like, you got crab legs. Like, I mean, you're just, it's awesome. And these guys are partying so hard. They're like, let's extend this thing, right? Just like you would on vacation. We don't got anything going on next week. You know what? Let's just go another 7 days. Like, we're turned down for what? And so verse 25, the Bible says that the whole assembly of Judah and the priests of the Levites and the whole assembly that came out of Israel and the sojourners who came out of the land of Israel and the sojourners who lived in Judah rejoiced. Everybody and their grandma knew what was going on, right? They're all coming to the party. And so there was great joy in Jerusalem from since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. There had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. In other words, this party's going off. People are dancing. People are shouting. People are smiling. They're eating. Everybody's like, yo, we haven't had a party like this since the early 2017 when Dizzy Drake was on Fleek. I don't even know what that means. But we haven't partied. Come on, this we haven't seen anything like this. And I'm telling you that we serve the God of festivity, right? Come on. We serve the God of celebration. We serve the God of laughter. We don't serve a God of doom and gloom. We don't serve a God of judgment. We don't serve a God that wants you to be stuffy, stale, type A country club. That was funnier than y'all thought it was. But this is so awesome because come on, we serve a God of gladness. We serve a God of joy, of celebration, and we serve our God. He threw a party that was so good it went 14 days. They're smiling, they're shouting, they're dancing, they're talking, like, God's like, this is what I want for my people. This is the party I want to throw. Like, you ever gone to a stale party? You ever gone to a party when the DJ, they keep hitting the mute button or the sound system's weak, it just ain't hitting, you know? And that's not our God. No. Listen, our God throws the best party, the biggest party. It's the party of celebration. And this is week two in our series of value and worth. And I wanna convince you tonight that our God wants you to be happy. That whatever you're going through, whatever season, whatever stage, God wants your life to be filled with joy and happiness. I want to preach a message today, and I pray that you're writing notes and you could write down the title. I love this thought. If God wanted me to be happy, then why aren't I? If God wanted me to be happy, then why aren't I? And if that's God's will and God's heart for my life, that I would be happy, then why in the world am I facing anxiety? Why am I struggling with depression, or let's say low moments, okay? Why with sadness? Why am I stressed out about school and life? And if God's will is for me to be happy, then why am I not? I want to preach a message today, and I want to convince you that no matter what your circumstance looks like, the joy of the Lord wants to overwhelm you so that you could be filled with laughter today. Amen to that. Come on, I believe that. So can we bow our heads and just pray today? Father, I thank you so much for your word. I thank you for everybody that's in this room. Lord, I thank you that you do just what only you can do in this time and in your presence. Father, we just help us to have our eyes set on you, Jesus. Open our ears so we can hear you, Holy Spirit. God, do what only you can do in our lives. Father, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your joy and your happiness. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So I was at a party the other day, about 2 months ago. It was awesome. It was my daughter's birthday, Mila Catalina Archer. And she's Hispanic. It's awesome. And so my daughter, it was her birthday, and somebody at the party shortly afterwards, they said, you know, Ben, what is it that makes you happy? What is it that makes you happy? And I started to kind of reflect, and I was going through, I'm like, you know, so what does make me happy? And I thought, you know, my daughter. My daughter makes me happy. Like, she is, man, just being around her, she's wild, she's crazy, she's savage. Like, it's awesome. And actually, I brought the video of my daughter just turned one. And so we sang happy birthday to her, and I brought the video. I just wanted to show you real quick. Could we play that video real quick?
One, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
It was so awesome. Like, seriously, I don't know about you, but it there's happiness and joy right there, right? Like, that, if that doesn't wreck your heart, I just don't know. And here's a quick rabbit trail. This is a message for another day, but if you noticed, she took her time to enjoy the moment, right? She actually made eye contact with everybody in the room, and boy, I'm going to unpack that at a later date, because there's a message right there. But she acknowledged everybody in the room, and she was just filled with joy and happiness. So my daughter, she just wrecks my heart. She wrecks my heart. My wife, I love my wife. I don't know if there's anybody in the world that can compare to my wife. Honey, I don't know where you are, but she is a diamond. She is amazing, and I love my wife, Alyssa. She is Mexican. She's spicy. Bocas Locas Forever Homes, like, oh, geez, it's just amazing. My wife, you're awesome. I love you. And so, man, you know, there's other things that I love. Like, I love being in the woods. Anybody, you just love being in the woods? Okay, I love being in the woods. I'm a hunter, so right now it's bow season. So, like, you get, like, fellas, it's okay to want to get out in the woods and kill something. It's totally okay. Ladies, it's also okay to feel like, no. And guys, it's okay to feel like that too. But I'm just telling you that God designed you to get out there and, like, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I just want to get in the woods. I want to kill a deer. But fortunately, I already hit one with my truck this year. So it's what it is. And so I got my deer already. But I love being in the woods. I love doing anything in the woods. I love riding dirt bikes. Holla at your boy. That's me. And so anything I can do to get out there. Now, I love shopping. Where are my shoppers at? Anybody love to shop? Okay, I love shopping. I just want to get out there. But listen, I don't want to leave without bags. Am I preaching to anybody? Like, I'm not looking to window shop. I'm looking to buy me some shoes. It's okay. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm a little bit like Zach. I want to get out there, and I mean, you just hate to see it. But so that makes me happy. That makes me happy. The other day, I was talking to my wife, and she's like, babe. I'm like, yeah. She's like, babe, all that I want is for us to have a slow day, a calm day, and I just want to watch Heartland and When Calls the Heart and just sit there and talk and watch these sappy movies and talk. And, you know, the more that she's describing it, the more she's talking about it, like, can I just be sure? I'm getting anxious feelings. Like, I'm getting anxiety. Like, I'm starting to sweat. And so, like, everything that she's describing is why I don't like sappy movies. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm all about romance. I'm your man. I know how to wine and dine. So, for example, real quick, I flew my wife to Florida. We did a surprise date day. She showed up to work. I called her boss already in advance, and like I pulled out all the stops, like couples massage, and then, you know, then we drove to the airport, but I already had her mom pack her bags, and then we land. We're on the beach. So while she was supposed to be at work, by 3 o'clock, we're on the beach. And I asked her to marry me. Like, come on. Like, I know how to wine. I'm all about romance. Like, I'm married. I hope you get married one day, right? And so, but I'm not trying to watch sweet moments on TV. And she's like, this would make me so happy. And I'm like, other things can make you happy, you know? And she's like, no, like, and so this is so marriage. So, you know, it's about the other person, right? You're putting their needs before yours. And so on the inside, I'm like, okay, well, we will. You know, we're going to have a chill day. We're going to watch sweet, sappy movies and Netflix and chill. I don't know what that means. But I want my wife to be happy. I want to tell you today that God's not unwilling. God's not reserved or unwanting to make you happy. God's not up in heaven going like, you haven't done anything or you don't deserve it. No, that God's heart is that he wants you to be filled with joy. He wants you to be filled with laughter. He wants you to be filled with excitement, and he wants you to be filled. He wants you to be filled with happiness. When I live God's way, when I do it God's way and what he's asked me to do, then I'm flourishing, then I'm happy, and then I'm blessed. Happy is the man that's living for God. Happy is the person that's in love with God. Happy is the person that has God's ways overwhelming their realities. I want to give you four things to encourage you tonight, four thoughts that you could write down. You could go ahead and start with number one. I love this thought. Happy is he who has a good God. I'll tell you who is really happy. And remember this. The most important thing, the most important part of who you are is what comes to your mind when I say the word God. When I say the word God, what comes to your mind is the most important part of who you are. So if I say God and you think judgmental, exclusive, harsh, critical, mean, angry God, you're gonna have a hard time in life, okay? But one of the most important parts of who you are is what comes to mind when I say God. Happy is the person who has a good God. I'm here to declare to you that we are happy because our God is really good. Like our God is really awesome. Our God is really kind. Our God is love. I'm happy not because of what I'm doing. I'm happy because of the reality of who God is. And watch here, and I'm going to show you some verses. I'm going to go rapid fire real quick for a second. Let's look at Psalms 144 as it comes up on the screen. Psalms 144, this is a great thought right here. Listen to what it says. Happy are the people who are in such a state. Happy are the people whose God is Lord. Let's go to the next one. What about this? Proverbs 16:20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. What about the next one? How beautiful upon the mountains are you, are the feet of him who brings good news, who publishes peace, and who brings good news of happiness. What about the next one? These things I've spoken to you that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. What is Jesus right here is going, look, the reason why I speak over your life, the reason why I talk to you is because I want your joy to be full. God's not trying to give you half joy. God's not trying to give you or fill your joy to the brim. He wants your joy to be overflowing. He wants your joy to be overwhelming. He wants you to have the joy of Jesus. Jesus says, I want to share my joy with you. I'm not going to give you this other joy or some counterfeit joy. I'm going to give you my joy, so I speak over you. I love you. I pursue you. your worth it. I fight for you because I want your joy to be full. I want to tell you today that God wants you to be happy. I want to tell you today that God's desire, God, we don't have to choose joy. God's not like, okay, guys, listen, joy or happiness. No, I'm telling you that if you really watch the Bible, if you really watch the heart of God, God's like, I want joy. I want happiness. In fact, you could write down thought number two tonight. His desire for us is happiness, joy, contentment, and satisfaction. I'm not gonna fully unpack this in detail tonight, but I'll just say this. This is his desire. God wants you to have happiness. God wants you to have joy. He wants you to have contentment. He wants you to have satisfaction. So the reality is that when we live in God's idea for my life, for our lives, God's reality that when I'm in love with Jesus, then I get true happiness. In fact, watch this in Psalm 16, 9 through 10. I'm happy from the inside out and from the outside in. I'm firmly formed. You canceled my ticket to hell. That's not my destination. Why am I happy? I love this. From the inside out, from the outside in. What's that? That's joy and happiness, right? Joy is the inside state of your heart. Happiness is the outside realities of your bank account, okay? God wants you to be happy. So why am I happy? Because I had a ticket. My destination was hell, and God canceled that. I don't know about you, but that's something to get excited about. Come on. I don't know about you, but I'm excited that I'm no longer going to hell, but I'm gonna spend eternity with my King. The promise of everlasting life. We could write down thought number three, and this is such a reality right here. His right path leads to right happiness. The right path is actually what leads us to, I'm just gonna call this right happiness because don't get this twisted. Can't nobody be up in church and just be like, God wants me to be happy, so I'm gonna sleep around. I'm gonna sleep with so-and-so, whoever, doesn't matter. God wants me to be happy, so I'm gonna go smoke. I'm gonna go vape, right? No. Our God is not the author of confusion. God never leads you down a path that violates his principles or his law. Listen, God never leads you down a path of righteousness, right living, upright living, God's ways. God is so good that he has a path for you, and you will be frustrated and you will lack contentment and satisfaction if you go down the wrong path or try to carve out your own path. But if you go down God's path for your life, that leads to the right happiness. In fact, watch this in Psalms 23, verse 3. I love this first line. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. Why does God take time to restore our soul? Why does God take time to restore us? I'll tell you why. Because it's so hard to be happy with a tormented soul. It's hard to be singing and joyful when you have a soul that's depleted, a soul that's filled with angst, a soul that's bitter, a soul that's hard-hearted. It's hard to be happy in that. So the first thing that he touches is my soul, my emotions, my central part of my being. Why? So he leads me in paths of righteousness. If you really look at that verse, what God is saying is, if you let me, I'll lead you down a path with such happiness. Follow me and I'll make you happy. Come my way and follow my path for your life, and you will end up being so joyful and so happy that, man, I just feel like doing the floss. You know what I'm saying? Come on, God is so good. God wants you to lead you down the right path. The question is, are you willing to follow? When we say yes to Jesus, happy is the man whose God is Lord. When we say, I'm going to follow you, God, I'm going to do it your way, I want whatever you have for my life. When I say these things, I believe that there's still some people in here that are going, look, let's spill the tea. Y'all know what I'm saying. Let's say the truth. If that's God's will for me, if that's what God wants for me, then why am I still not happy? Like, okay, I believe this with all my heart, and you could write down number four. And this is our final thought today, and worship team, you can come out and join me tonight. You can write down number four. God can make me happy when I'm not happy. So you might be going like, you don't understand. I've got depression. I've got low moments. I've got anxiety. I've got stress. I want to speak very sensitively to anybody that's in our community, very kindly, that anyone that maybe you're listening online and or you're struggling with low moments and sadness. We do not take the battles of depression lightly here. Sozo is a safe place. We're gonna journey with you. We're gonna pray for you. Come on, we're gonna commit and we're gonna believe that you're gonna come out of those dark days, out of that hard season. And God's gonna show up in such a powerful way, and God's gonna lead you and come on into a better season. I really believe that God's gonna turn the bitter into sweet. And I just wanna encourage people that might be facing this darkness. And listen, if this isn't for you tonight, I encourage you to lean in. Because it's not if the storm comes, it's when the storm comes. Come on, you look around this room, we've got friends that we're fighting for, not against each other. I want to speak to anybody that you go, if God wants me to be happy, then Ben, why am I not? God is the only God that can turn the mourning into dancing. Come on, God promises you that he's a good God. He says, weeping may endure for a night, but joy's coming in the morning. He says that those that sow tears, they're gonna reap with songs of joy. And you might be like, yeah, Ben, but man, my night's been going on for a year. I'm a happy dude. I'm a happy person, seriously, I am. But I've experienced depression. I've experienced low moments. And one of them was really, really bad 6 years ago. You know what it was? It's crazy. It was a girl that God didn't have for me, that wasn't right for me. It was a horrible breakup. I gave this girl 4 years of my life. I gave this girl everything. I mean, I thought that she was the one. I thought that I would marry this girl. So I thought, and you know what the funny part was? 1 month into dating, I knew that she wasn't the right one for me. Talk about an oof moment. When she finally left me, which was the right thing, I felt like nobody cared. I felt like I've given my life to something, to somebody, and nobody even sees me. When I talk about it, it sounds so dumb. But in that moment, it was so real. I felt rejection. I was hurt, man. I was the most hurt that I've ever been in my life. And I'm not trying to play right now. That's the truth. I remember sitting in the shower and like, I mean, I'm just bringing this all to God. I'm being so vulnerable with him. And I'm trying to process through the pain and the feeling and the stuff that was going on in my soul and in my heart. And I just remember bawling my eyes out. It's hard for me to admit. I'm a dude. But I'm telling you, I was a mess. I felt some serious pain. I'm on the floor. I got my head's in my hands. I'm just wrecked. I'm bawling. And you know what God did? God came up. He right up next to me. He drew right next to me. And I could feel him in my heart. I could feel his presence so tenderly, so patient. He spoke to my heart. And you know what he said to me? I was in so much pain. He said, I want you to have relationship. I want to have relationship with you in your suffering. I want you to know how to have relationship with me, Ben. I was like, God, can't you teach me something else right now? But then you know what the next phrase was? This is just so soft and so gentle. He said, I was deserving of all honor, and they rejected me. You know, in that moment, It didn't solve the pain that I was feeling inside, but you know what it did? It gave me strength to endure. Didn't change that night. I didn't get up the next morning and everything was fine. But I had this reminder that in my darkest hour, in my worst condition, when I'm not feeling good, when I'm feeling low, when I'm feeling defeated and deflated, and I feel like everything's a wreck and everything's gone wrong, that God's with me and He shows up to be my source and my strength and my anchor. And I knew that He's gonna make me happy again. I didn't know how He was gonna do it, but I knew that He was gonna do it. And I love that verse in the Bible when He says, He pulled me out of the clay and He set my feet upon the rock. He put a new song in my mouth. Many are going to see and hear that when I was not happy and when I was in a dark place, that God came to me and said, I'm going to give you satisfaction. I'm gonna give you laughter again. I'm gonna give you joy again. I'm gonna give you happiness. Come on, one day I'm gonna throw a party for you and you're gonna get your dance back. You're gonna get your groove back. What the enemy intended to harm you, come on, God's gonna turn it around. I really believe that the wave that was meant to crush you, come on, you're gonna ride that wave. Come on, Sozo. Let's get some faith today that God will show up and God will be faithful. God is good. Come on. And he's amazing. Can we stand to our feet? We're going to read this last psalm up on the screen together. Before we go into worship, we're going to read this. It's the last scripture. The Bible says, bend an ear to me, God. Answer me. I'm one miserable wretch. Keep me safe. Haven't I lived a good life? Help your servant. I'm depending on you. You're my God. Have mercy on me. I count on you from morning to night. Give your servant a happy life. I put myself in your hands. You're well known as a good, forgiving, big-hearted to all that ask for help. Hold on, bro. Hold on. I need this. Thank you. My man's such a servant. Big-hearted to all that ask for help. Pay attention, God, to my prayer. Bend down and listen to my cry for help. Every time I'm in trouble, I call on you, confident that you'll answer. Can we just not play games tonight? Can we just not play church games? If that's okay, can we just be real for a second? Some of us are going through some of the darkest days, some of the hardest times, some of the hardest situations that God, could there be a mountain bigger? And God's here to say, I'm here to be your strength. I'm here to be your source. I'm here to give you a happy life. I'm not trying to punish you. I'm not trying to hurt you. Come on, I'm not trying to put you in time out. I'm trying to lift your head. I'm trying to give you strength in Jesus. 2 years ago, this was an echo. During service on a Saturday night, we had a group of students that came for the first time, and it was awesome. And during an activity, someone snapped a picture of us, and I'm just gonna hold it up real quick and it'll come up on the screen. There was a picture of the group of new students, and we were just doing an activity, and this kid right here, he's the one really crouched down, looking down at the ground. His name is Brandon. He made Jesus Christ Lord and Savior of his life. The next night, April 10th, 2016, Brandon took his life. Take a moment. Just look around this room. Take a moment. Zach says all the time, we're better together. I don't know what your background looks like. I don't know where you've came from. I don't know what you're struggling with, but I'm here to tell you that together as a family, we're united. That together as a family, we fight for one another, not against each other. That's how we fight our battles. Come on, we go together to Jesus. We fight for each other. We fight for each other. We fight for each other. We're gonna fight for you. As we go into this song of worship, I'm gonna give us four simple steps. Four simple steps. Number one, validation. It's okay to have low moments. It's okay to have low moments. That doesn't mean we stay there. We're all gonna hit the mat. How long are we gonna lay on the mat? Number two, we gotta turn to Jesus. Come on, Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted and to set the captives free. We have to turn to Jesus, and that's what we're about to do in a moment. We're gonna go to Jesus. You know, I grew up in a church that was crazy. Zach talks about it, the kookies he says all the time, but I mean, we would be in worship like this, and with my background and where I grew up with, the only time I saw somebody like this was because a cop had a gun pointed at him. And I remember asking my dad one time, I said, "Dad, why is everybody like this? I see everybody with their hands up and I don't see any cops." My dad said, no, son, you know, we didn't have a lot of money. He said, "You know, when I have you take the rabbit ears or the antennas and you just kind of take it to get the picture just right. And you're bending them and they're just like this." He said, "People come to church because if they could just see Jesus, they could just see Jesus." Come on, we look unto the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. He's the only one that can move mountains. Come on, God uses people, but Jesus is the answer. Jesus plus nothing equals everything. And number three, we gotta speak by faith. It's so important that you physically speak God's word. Let's say God's Bible right over your life, God's promises. The Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing the word, not by reading. Come on, you gotta speak out God's word. The Bible says that our tongue is like the rudder of a ship. Translation, you ever see somebody drive a big tractor trailer? It takes a couple turns to get that thing into motion, right? You gotta speak things out even when you don't feel it, and God begins to do a work in your life. It might take time, but you gotta speak. You gotta speak. So when we go back into praise and worship and we give everything to Jesus and we put our eyes unto the author and finisher of our faith, we gotta speak. Come on, you can't worry and praise at the same time. You can't think bad thoughts and speak positive words. You can't. Have you ever tried? Try to think something right now and speak something different. You stop thinking about whatever you're thinking. And number four, let your small group leader in. This is a safe place. We do it together. Let your small group leader in. We can't help if we don't know what the need is. I just believe that tonight, if you'll be vulnerable with God, if you'll be vulnerable with your leader, he'll show up in such a magnificent way, bigger than you ever expected. Can we go back into worship and just let God love on us? Can we just come up? We're just gonna go back into worship and praise God tonight.
As we finish tonight, here's what I want us to do as a Sozo family. I want everybody to come. Let's come to the middle. We literally have two minutes left. I want us to just come and let's circle up together. For all you introverts, you love this part. But let's, everybody come in the middle. Come on, come on, come on. Let's gather around one another. And I'm going to pray for us. Because I know you guys are going through some things. As your leader, I go through some things. And I need people in my life that I could go to and say, you know what? I'm not doing okay today. I'm not doing okay right now. I really need the prayer. I really need the encouragement. I really need you to come and lift my hands up when I feel like I don't want to go any longer. And we're not going to do no announcements, no salvation call. But if you're in this house and you're saying, you know what, I'm hurting pretty bad, just talk to your leader after this. Just pull them aside and say, you know what, I need some help. I need some prayer. I need you to keep me lifted up. But I want to pray for you guys, and this is really coming as a father. I feel like God has given me the gift of not only being a pastor, but being a father. I think a true gift is being a dad. Because I know a lot of you guys don't have dads. And it breaks my heart knowing that. I feel like God's really graced me to be a dad to those who don't have dads. And maybe you have a dad and your dad's not present and your dad's chasing the dollar. I don't know. But I'm going to pray as a dad would over his kids. Let's just bow our heads. Holy Spirit, I just feel, as a father, I feel the weight of your kids and the heaviness that they're facing tonight. The heaviness that they're facing in life, God. Listen, we're not pretending to play church, God. We're here to have our lives change. We need your encounter. We need a fresh breath from you, God. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are our counselor, that you're our helper. God, I'm praying for my kids tonight. I'm praying for my Sozo family tonight, God, that you would just be with those who are discouraged, God, those who are having their heads down, those who are feeling like giving up. God, I thank you that your Holy Spirit and your people, as we just did today, we just locked arms together. We just came together as small groups and as a family, and we said, you know what? We're going to do this together. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be messy, but that's what family's for. That's what we're here for. I'm here to lift you up when you feel like giving up. I'm here to encourage you when you feel discouraged. That's the environment that we create here. We're a family. Some of you guys don't have healthy families, but you need to know that this is a healthy family where we won't run away from you when you have issues. We won't tell you to put your big girl pants on, big boy pants on when you're really going through something. We're gonna do this together with you. So Holy Spirit, I thank you for this time that we got to spend together. Yeah, it's different than some weeks, God. Sometimes we're having a blast and having a ton of fun, but God, there's these moments like this where we just have to take a step back and be still in your presence and allow your Holy Spirit, you Holy Spirit, to do a work in our hearts. God, I thank you that this is a ministry that doesn't play church. Really, we're real. And I thank you that you've come into our lives and you're renewing us daily. You're putting the people that we need in our lives to really succeed. And I pray that these moments would not be forgotten. That these teenagers, after they walk out of these doors, that they would know that they're not alone. That they can reach out to their small group leader. They can reach out to their friend, and we're not going to judge them one bit. We're not going to look down on them one bit, but we're going to say, how can I serve you? How can I serve you? How can I get into the nastiness of your life and help you clean it up? I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you did something tonight that we will never forget. You gave us a word. You lifted up our heads. And we ask this in your most precious, most powerful name. We ask this in Jesus' name, the name that's above every name, the name that heals, the name that restores, the name that saves our souls. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. We lift up your name. Let's lift up the name Jesus. Come on, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. You are the name above every name. You're the name above our sickness. You're the name above our disease. You're the name above our conditions, God. You're the name above all things, and we lift up the name of Jesus. This isn't just a name. This is the most powerful name, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We praise your name, Jesus. And we ask this in your name. We seal this night in your name. And everybody says amen, amen, amen. We love you guys. Come on. Some of y'all needed this night. I needed this night. So if you guys are going through some things, talk to your small group leader. I'm crying. Yo, dudes, it's good. It's cool to cry. Really, it is. I'm just a little emotional, but that's cool. But talk to your small group leaders if you're going through something. You're not alone. Listen, you're not alone. Some of you guys need to hear that. You're not alone. And we love you. We love you. We love you. Sometimes it's the most popular kids that are really hurting the most, but they're the most popular, so they feel like they got to have it all together. I'm telling you, don't trade your healing for popularity. It's not worth it. It's not worth the fame. It's not worth the recognition. It's not worth it. Allow God to come into that brokenness. Some of you guys are the athletes. Some of you guys are the gymnastics. Some of you guys are the cheerleaders. Like, people look up to you, yeah, but guess what? You're human as well. And sometimes you guys are the ones that are hurting the most. And just allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Talk to somebody. You're not that big. You know, you're not that big. Allow God to do something in your heart. So I love you guys. We do not have service next week. It is Thanksgiving. But we are going to go for it the following week. Bring your friends, because trust me, we're about to enter into something supernatural, something so special that you don't want your friends missing out on.